This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Ik. It's our monthly Be Fit Malaysians show, and that's our monthly sports medicine show. And today we're going to be looking at whether you should see a chiropractor, especially if you're generally active and you know, you are involved in sports, whether as an athlete or as a sporting enthusiast. Now, if you experience injuries, and we know that can be very common, who would you see, a chiropractor or an orthopedic surgeon? And so today I hope to dive into the respective roles of an orthopedic surgeon and a sports chiropractor, how they, whether they have anything in common or where they may differ when it comes to managing and also preventing sports-related injuries. And so in one corner, I have consultant orthopedic surgeon Dr. Harjit Singh back for his monthly appearance with us on this show. And in the other corner, Dr. Hayden Pook, an internationally certified sports chiropractor. I don't know if using the boxing analogy is the right way to start off. But of course, you know, there are certain views or certain people who hold to the view that orthopedic surgeons and chiropractors don't see eye to eye. Dr. Harjit, what do you think?
The way I look at it, putting us in opposite corners from the beginning is going to be a bit dangerous, because he's 2 meters tall. probably I have a bit of a weight advantage. But I think that everyone who treats sporting injuries and patients who are suffering from them, the goal is to get the patient better. Do it in the safest manner possible and evidence-based. So I think with that, we're probably on the same side, I hope. I think, definitely. Yeah, so
but it's okay. Generally, do you work with chiropractors, or is it a practice for orthopedic surgeons in Malaysia to work with chiropractors, Dr. Harjit?
Yeah. Okay. The way I look at this is that there's not a direct answer. The chiropractors in Malaysia, I mean, they have come into the limelight, so to speak, recent past. Even IMU has started a chiropractor program. There are a lot of healthcare practitioners and also the allied health which treat sporting injuries in their own way and right, including the physiotherapists, the sports medicine physicians, us, the sports orthopedists, even the sports masseuse devil in it, usually guided by a physician, and the chiropractors, some of which who have moved on to treating sporting injuries also. But to specifically answer the question, I work at a facility which is ringed by 6 chiropractors. It's close to a golf course, and most of them are at this time working in silo. And I haven't had the opportunity of actually interacting and dealing with them directly. Although I occasionally get patients coming with radiographs done before seeking a second opinion. So directly, no. But I'm hoping that, you know, giving a little bit more clarity to this would help us work together better.
So speaking of clarity, Dr. Hayden, perhaps I can turn to you and get you to explain generally what is the role of a chiropractor. You know, what kinds of health issues do you deal with?
I think that's really well said by Dr. First of all, I think that it would be fair to say that patients or athletes who get a sports injury, their first port of call is not usually straight to the orthopedic surgeon. Usually the primary contact practitioner is most probably a physiotherapist or a chiropractor. And I think it's the responsibility of the physiotherapist and the chiropractor to examine that patient properly, take a proper history, and get the correct diagnosis from the get-go. You know, patients get very frustrated when they're not diagnosed correctly and they're not referred off to the appropriate practitioner. So, for example, in my practice, I will send and refer a lot of patients to the orthopedic surgeons. either for a second opinion or because they fail conservative care or because they from the get-go, they need of either minimally invasive or fully invasive orthopedic surgery or procedure. The role of a chiropractor ideally should be to be a primary health care practitioner, diagnose the patient correctly and then immediately ascertain whether they are a patient in need of chiropractic care or whether they need to be referred off to the appropriate specialist. Where do chiropractors specialize? Where can they contribute and help? I think that's the main thing that people need to understand. Chiropractors should be specializing in the analysis of posture, alignment, and biomechanics. So let's say, for example, when it comes to sportsmen, we'll keep it sports related. You know, if they can early on identify that a particular athlete has a flat foot, for example, or has a slightly internally rotated or bow legs, or they've got a very flat back and have lost the natural curves of the spine, it might be predisposing that athlete or contributing in that athlete to a particular injury. For example, a flat foot could predispose for shin splints or plantar fasciitis or ITB syndrome. Loss of a lumbar curve could predispose for a disc problem later on. Internally rotated or bow legs would probably eventually lead to medial meniscal problems or early onset osteoarthritis. So I would say that the chiropractors and the physios should be working with our orthos. I can't blame the orthopedic surgeons. I have not one time had an orthopedic surgeon in Malaysia treat me disrespectfully when I've referred a patient to him. So it is up to those people who are so-called frontliners, excuse me using the term, but to get the patients to the orthos. And, you know, once that door opens, the orthos tend to refer a lot of patients back to you. I mean, patients who either don't qualify for surgery or are high-risk patients for surgery, I get a lot of referrals on a weekly basis from orthopedics and doctors around who I've befriended and I use all the time.
Dr. Harjit, are you, you know, looking at how Dr. Hayden has, presented the role of chiropractors as primary care, right? Can you see orthopedic surgeons complementing where you can come in after that? Is that approach that you're comfortable with?
So the way I look at this, ultimately, the decision of where the injured athlete or person is going to go to is going to be in the hands of that particular person, the patient or the client.
Absolutely.
Now, we cannot control that. The idea of exposing them to all their options is to ensure that they get to the person who is potentially going to be able to give them the best. Now, if you listen to the way Dr. Pook puts it across, it's like, that's ideal. Okay, you get to somebody who's going to pick out the problem appropriately and move you on or treat you if he or she is able to offer you the best care possible. I think that's always our gold standard. The first thing that we need to do is to do no harm. So, I mean, just to take this maybe in more of a narration, across where I work, we actually have some traditional Chinese practitioners who have been there for donkey's years, because about 20 minutes away, we have a Chinese kampong. Okay. Now, the resistive nature of practice is that they always feel that they would be viewed negatively. And over a period of 10 years, I have not done that. So much so that when someone falls and has a wrist injury and they suspect that it's something more than that, they actually send the patient over for an X-ray under my care. And I have a look at the acute injury, treat it appropriately. And thereafter, if you get stiffness or the consequences of treatment, which probably requires some manipulation or soft tissue management, which they can manage and they are comfortable doing it, it becomes like a win-win situation in the sense that the patient and I don't miss acute injuries, which probably need appropriate orthopedic care. On the other hand, they get treated appropriately after that by the practitioner which is close to them. So, I mean, I think it works both ways. As long as we create a situation of mistrust, nothing is going to move forward. So the way I look at it, as long as it's done safely, getting it bang right from the word go, the patient is going to benefit, and that's what builds a practice. So I'm comfortable if things are done well.
All right. So I want to come back from this break and find out more about what that would look like. If, you know, if I can get you to take a sort of a typical kind of sports related injury and walk me through, you know, how you'd see yourself being able to complement each other and bring that best outcome for a patient, just to help our listeners understand what they can get out of this. So I'm speaking to consultant orthopedic surgeon Dr. Harjit Singh and Dr. Hayden Pook, a sports chiropractor, and we're discussing, you know, what are the respective roles of an orthopedic surgeon and a sports chiropractor when it comes to sports related injuries. So we'll be right back on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Eek. On Skype with me today are consultant orthopedic surgeon Dr. Harjit Singh and a sports chiropractor Dr. Hayden Pook. And Dr. Hayden is actually an internationally certified sports chiropractor. And, you know, we're getting two different views today on how sports-related injuries can be managed. Perhaps not so different because before the break, both Dr. Harjit and Dr. Hayden have already talked about the fact that ultimately, the goal that they have in mind is a shared one. It's to improve recovery and outcomes for the patient or the client that they're seeing. But, you know, from what I understand, the routes that you may take to achieve that goal may be different. So perhaps if we can use an example to better illustrate that. Dr. Harjit, perhaps you can talk about a type of common sports-related injury, and then we can take it from there.
Okay. Something very common among the sports people around my area would be the lower back pain in golfers, right? We do get a large amount of golfers who try to up their game and succumb to some amount of lower back pain. Now, I always feel that in any orthopedic practice, 100 patients walking into your clinic, 40 of them are going to be back pain. A large number of them are sometimes movement related, and a lot of them are sporting related. And fortunately, that 90% of this lower back pain problems are very functional, musculoskeletal problems, postural or activity, inappropriate movement related, and these are very, very well treated by therapists, and most of the time they do not require an orthopedist. The role of the orthopedist, in my opinion, is at that time is to pick out the red flags. The last 5 or probably 3% who possibly have something more dangerous, such as being the situation where the so-called sporting injury is not the reason for that particular back pain, but it's a red herring for something more dangerous, such as an infection or malignancy. I think that when the first go-to person misses these 3% of patients and treats them inappropriately, it's catastrophic. So I think that the appropriate diagnosis from the beginning is important. And a lot of patients do go on as the first point being the therapist. So I think this is a good scenario to probably see how both of us manage it.
So Dr. Hayden?
I think it's a great example. Fortunately, as Dr. Harjit knows, when it comes to lower backs and spinal tumours, and spinal cancers, most of them, there are very few primary spinal tumors. So a lot of the patients who get cancer, it's usually metastasis to the spine. Fortunately, a lot of them will come in with, quite obvious, general symptoms with weight loss, night pain. The patient generally seems to be unwell. So when it comes to your sports patients who come in, your general symptoms of a patient who's got a metastasis to their spine from a primary cancer elsewhere, it's usually fairly obvious to pick up. But nevertheless, I've had patients referred to my office from other practitioners where that diagnosis has been missed. And I agree with Dr. Hajid, it's catastrophic because the earlier you can get them to the right place, the better. Most cases are mechanical lower back pain. Golf in particular is there's a recurrent movement all the time. It's a repetitive movement, the golfing action. And you get a lot of repetitive strain on certain areas in the back, the facet joints and the sacroiliac joints. And if the diagnosis is spot on and it's mechanical back pain, then of course a chiropractic is a really good answer. The treatment's super effective. A lot of golfers, as you know, use chiropractors. Tiger Woods sort of made chiropractors famous because he always used one. But the situation does become a little bit more complicated when the spinal discs are involved, and you often get what are called annular tears and disc herniations. And when they do start to impinge on the spinal nerves and start to cause a little bit of radiation into the legs, pain, not so much, is still manageable. But when you get a loss of function and weakness and hard neurological signs, certainly, I think that's starting to get out of the scope of treatment for a chiropractor, and you need to get that patient to the orthopedic surgeon. So again, it does depend on who they see. And chiropractic in Malaysia is a young profession, and a lot of people ask me, what makes you a sports chiropractor? And it's the same as in the medical field. To be a sports chiropractor, you do need postgraduate certifications, and they're not easy to get. They're expensive. They take a long time. It's pretty grueling. The ICSC from FIX, which is the International Federation of Sports Chiropractic, that's the gold standard, and it's not an easy certificate to get. So you need to be aware of, if you are a patient and you are going to see a sports chiropractor, that they have the appropriate certification. It's the same basics that apply to all the professions. And I think it is catastrophic when a diagnosis is missed from the get-go. And you've got to hope that the practitioners that you see, the offices you walk into, that the person has the appropriate knowledge and ethics.
Dr. Hajid, you've talked about sharing the same goals with a chiropractor. But if you look at the approach that a chiropractor would take and one that a classically trained orthopedist would take, are there points where you would diverge fully?
Wow. Now you're going to cause trouble. Okay. The thing
get
is...
Get in the ring, Dr. Hajid. Okay. Get in the ring.
Okay, so the idea is, we come from very different training backgrounds. Every orthopedist trains to be a general physician first and works as a general physician, further trains as an orthopedist, then works as an orthopedist, and then goes and subspecializes in sports orthopedics or whatever subspecialty that he is interested in. Once your beard turns white, you are ripe to practice in a subspecialty. As long as your beard is red, or as long as there's color in it, you're not up to the mark. Now, this colors the way we react to situations and the way we react to concepts which differ from ours. I think when we are young and eager, we tend to be very dismissive on anything that differs from what we think is the best way to go. But as we age like wine, we tend to accept practices that diverge from ours, but I would safely say that I would only be comfortable with practices which I read up upon and I deem safe for the patient, because I feel ultimately it's a communication between the patient and the practitioner. Now, the orthopedist can say whatever the orthopedist wants to say, but as long as the communication between the practitioner and the patient is mutual, they can go right ahead. But I am very, very dismissive and a little bit more super on saying no when I feel that that practice is unsafe. So I think unsafe practices are totally different from practices which are safe but a little bit divergent in thinking, as long as the goal is met. If whatever therapy offered has some science to it, has some literature supporting it, they can differ in concept to a certain extent to what I'm trained about, and I accept it, especially if the patients are better for it and the patients accept it. Now, if we tend to promise things which are totally against what the current concepts are, and they are totally divergent and unsafe practices, then I find it difficult to stomach.
What would you deem unsafe?
I think one of it is pursuing with practices in patient conditions which are totally inappropriate for them. For example, what Dr. Pook mentioned, you have a patient coming in, obviously having neurological problems, and you persist with manipulative therapy or something more without getting them appropriately imaged onto streamlined medical care from the word go. Now, not all metastatic lesions in the spine are going to come totally ill, because sometimes they are very early, you know, and that's the kind of patient that goes for a golfing game, gets a bit of back pain beyond the age of 50. And, you know, he goes and sees a chiropractor who is not alert enough and misses exactly what Dr. Pook pointed out. Now, that's why in teaching the younger orthopedists or doctors, we always have, we try to create scenarios and performance. So I always use, there are certain red flags, lower back pain beyond the age of 50 on first onset. You know, these are situations, the night pain that he mentioned, these are scenarios that need us to be a bit more vigilant and probably image the spine before treating them. So I think these kind of situations are the no-no for me. You know, we know that whether the physio, the masseuse, the chiro treats mechanical back pain appropriately, they will get better. That's 95% of the time. We don't want to miss that 3 or 4%. That's the way for me.
And Dr. Pook, you know, when it comes to ensuring that the provider, the healthcare provider, you know, does not compromise on patient safety, a lot of that's related to professional standards of practice. So when it comes to chiropractors and sports chiropractors, if we were to narrow in further, you know, how are they regulated in Malaysia? Are there standards of practice currently?
Well, chiropractic was officially recognized under the Act 775 under traditional and complementary medicine 2016, early in August 2017 by the Ministry of Health. And that obviously was the first step. Right now, I believe it's in the second phase. And now traditional and complementary medical practitioners are being registered. For chiropractors to be registered under TNCM, they have to be ACM members. That's Association of Chiropractic Malaysia. That's our professional body, which was established in 2013. And they will have to have professional indemnity insurance. So They'll then be registered under TNCM, and they will, much like a medical doctor, they'll get their annual practicing certificate. It's called an APC. I would imagine the next step after getting an APC would be when you get it renewed, you would have to have show a certain amount of CPD or continued professional development points. So I think chiropractic's on the right track. In terms of the ACM and TNCM, there's definitely a set of codes of conduct that have been accepted and implemented, and ethics, code of ethics, etc. So yes, I think the right protocols are in place, and they've been in place from the get-go to ensure that patients are actually in a safe place when they go to see a chiropractor. You know, any type of mechanical or something that's diagnosed as mechanical back pain, which then is unresponsive to treatment, should definitely, you know, then be referred off or referred for imaging. You know, further investigation needs to be done. Just like if the symptoms are not symptoms of a simple mechanical lower back pain and they look a bit more complicated, it could be, metastasis from a prostate issue, then these need to be picked up on. So the very same red flags that Dr. Harjeet was talking about, the chiropractor should be up to date, should know that these are the same red flags they should be looking for. I image a lot of patients. As I said, my philosophy is simple. You need the correct diagnosis from the get-go. I send for a lot of x-rays, a lot of MRI imaging, and a lot of musculoskeletal diagnostic ultrasound, which is all particularly helpful together with the proper examination.
On this note, Dr. Polk, are there some myths or misconceptions about chiropractic treatments that you'd like to clear up? Perhaps misinformation about what chiropractors can or can't do?
I think that, previously in the past, and when you get albeit quite new profession in Malaysia, I think that people often pin their hopes to going to see a chiropractor, especially I've noticed that in the past. I would have a lot of patients who would, let's say, bring a mother or father in who's clearly unwell. And when I go through a history, the family members would omit things in the history. I could see auntie is, you know, really thin. I can see that she's obviously got something bad going on, a cancer or TB or something like that. And it would be omitted from the history because they're hoping that by delivering an adjustment to their family member, they're miraculously going to be healed. I keep telling the doctors who work for me and when I lecture and give talks that you're not often, the patient is not often going to be forthright about what's going on because they think there is a magic attached to what we do. And what we do is very effective, but I tell people our job is kind of quite boring. You know, our job is to analyze, you know, where there is an issue in the spine. Is there a biomechanical issue? Is there an area that's not moving correctly? Is it indicated to improve the situation through a manipulative procedure? And if it is, the patient will respond really, really well, you know, which is great. And if it isn't, you can aggravate the situation, you know. A lot of chiropractors don't realize that the first sign of spinal instability is stiffness. If the spine is unstable, then the surrounding musculature is very tight and it goes into a protective spasm, as Dr. Harjeet knows. And a lot of chiropractors will interpret this protective spasm as a stiff back or neck, and then they will manipulate. And obviously manipulating an unstable spine is absolutely contraindicated. So, yeah, it's a very seeing a chiropractor is, in fact, a very safe treatment to go and have done. But certainly the standard of care the qualifications of that chiropractor. You need to check who you're seeing. There are a lot of people out there who claim to be chiropractors who are not chiropractors. It's just written on their wall that they're chiropractors. You know, so you need to make sure that they are chiropractors, they have the right qualifications, and they are registered with the Association of Chiropractic Malaysia, and soon to be they must be registered, you know, under the TNCM Act. So I think it's heading in the right direction, it's in an exciting place, and I think that for orthopedic surgeons to know as many chiropractors as possible, it will be a huge advantage, you know, because chiropractors should definitely be sending the appropriate patients through to an orthopedic surgeon. I would say that I refer out about 30% of my patients. That's quite a number, you know, usually to orthos for different types of techniques and second opinions, as I mentioned earlier.
And Dr. Harjit, you know, you work a lot with athletes, professional athletes as well, I think. Do you see a sports chiropractor being able to complement the role of a sports physician?
Yeah, I mean, looking at that, I think a lot of them come to me after they've gone to the chiro, and the chiro has said, okay, you know what, there's something else going on, because there are chiropractic practices which are in combination with a physiotherapist, and they work on the patient, and you know, probably for shoulder problems, which they actually thought initially was from the spine, and you know, so they send them over to me. Now, on the flip side, a lot of patients of mine who I then offer options for surgery, I think everyone, the first thing when you tell them surgery is they're going to run out of your clinic and go look for anybody else who will say that, okay, you possibly will not need surgery if you do it this way. So the idea is that we know where we are good and we know where we are bad at certain situations and certain conditions. And I think that when we are not good at a particular condition, we refer them away to someone we feel is better. And when we are good, we give them evidence-based appropriate opinion. And if that opinion involves surgery, I tell them that the best option is surgery. You do have other inferior options, but this is what they are. And if those options are within my hands to offer, I move on and offer them. But if I sometimes say that, hey, there's no way to go except surgery, 20% of them will go ahead. The other 80 will go around, try and shop for someone who can help them the other way. And out of those who ultimately can't be treated, they come over. I don't mind being proved wrong. I just don't want I don't want to offer a patient treatment which after they get treated by me, they say that, hey, you know, you promised me a cure and it just didn't happen. So I think that's even worse for me. So I do find that a lot of patients, if the orthopedist offers them a surgical option from the word go, a lot of them go on to the therapist, the masseuse, the TCM, a lot of them, the chiropractor, seeing whether there are other options that they can explore. And the best part is these make the perfect patients. When they have explored everything and they come back to you and they say that, yes, you were right from the word go, and I get a good job done, they are fixed. And they bring me better patients. They bring me patients that I don't have to, you know, sell myself so much, because they are already accepting that I'm going to try and do the best for them.
Mm. So, yeah, they have gone through the process of managing their expectations.
Yes, yeah. I think there are two parts. You have to offer correct care from the word go, and you have to try and manage expectations. The expectations for a weekend warrior is totally different from an elite athlete. You know, I've had situations when I was training in orthopedics, we had a national footballer coming to my sports surgeon whom I was training with, and the sports surgeon explained to him all the complications of that particular procedure, which was going to be done on the knee. Okay. Now, at the end of that, we were explaining to him like risk of infection, the risk of cutting a major blood vessel. But at the end of the consult, all the player said was, when do I get back on the field? He was not bothered about, you know, having a complication of cutting or nicking an artery, but he just wanted to know because the expectation was, okay, I'll agree with whatever you say, get me back to the field. So, you know, you need to identify that. And I like it that I have a team around me which can help me after the surgery with appropriate rehabilitation, and we get the best that the player or the person can be.
And Dr. Hayden, you have experience working with sports teams, especially with rugby back in South Africa. Do you just want to briefly share, you know, what you feel a sports chiropractor can bring to a sports team? And on that note, I also want to get you to touch on, you know, helping athletes beyond just managing injuries, but things like strength, conditioning, prevention of injuries as well.
I was involved in South Africa almost on a full-time basis with the Natal Sharks rugby team. And I think it's important to for everyone to understand that you're part of a sports medicine team. So I was working alongside a physiotherapist and a sports physician, and we also had a consulting a sports orthopedist who was part of the team. Again, from a chiropractic perspective, mostly my role as part of that team would be analyzing the rugby player's lower limb biomechanics and getting involved there. Like I said earlier, looking at flat feet, looking at internal rotation of the legs, looking at spinal posture, and then together with the physiotherapist, coming up with types of integrated treatment plans that would help that particular rugby player prevent them from getting injuries later on in the season, overuse injuries or high impact injuries, that type of thing. So, yes, definitely once you analyze a sportsman properly and you analyze their mechanics and their posture and their alignment, if you want to call it, then based on that, you can come up with an appropriate program. Most programs are ideally the same across the board. You know, you would have a program which targets strengthening of weak muscles, a stretching of tight muscles, and then definitely a more holistic approach with an athlete, which is so important. You know, you need to look, are they getting adequate nutrition? Are they getting adequate rest? You know, especially young professional athletes who like to go out and have late nights and all the rest, and they're not getting enough sleep, they're not eating correctly. And then a huge part of it, obviously, is the mental well-being of an athlete. You know, you've really got to you know, get into the athlete's head. You know, they've got to be a positive mindset is really, really important in order for them to recover fully and to perform at their best. You know, so in terms what I would do as a chiropractor, I would definitely help with the assessment of each and every athlete. And then whenever the physiotherapist or the sports doctor or the sports ortho thought that manipulation was indicated, especially with a lot of sacroiliac problems, that's the pelvis down right by the lowest part of the lower back, manipulative treatments would definitely be something that I would be delivering all the time. And then the probably one of the most tricky things that we all treat, that is, you know, high impact injuries to the head, where we've got traumatic brain injury or concussion, as you call it, and neck whiplash. And the most alarming thing about concussion and neck whiplash is that their symptoms that the athlete experiences, there's a big overlap. And a lot of chiropractors out there today are treating what they think is neck whiplash, but actually it's a post-concussion syndrome. And it's quite scary, and vice versa. So It is very important that any sports chiropractor knows how to do correct head injury assessment and is really up to date when it comes to return to study, return to work, return to sport protocols.
So, looking forward, Dr. Harjeet, how do you think we can be more holistic in the way we manage these kinds of injuries? Where you, like, I think at the beginning of the show, you used the word silos, right? And it seems that we could benefit from having some of these silos broken down.
Yeah, definitely. I think for the benefit of our patients, the bigger a team that we have, a team that we trust, the better it is for the patient. In a busy practice, there's always the risk of being slightly more in a rush than you would want to, regardless of how mindful you are about it. So if you have a team around you, particularly if you have a chiro, a therapist, a masseuse, which probably meet the patient more regularly than you would do, all this, you can probably, if you have missed something small because it wasn't apparent at the word right go, someone else will pick it up. So if you have good people around you, your outcomes are definitely going to be better. The only thing is that we always have to update ourselves. There's never a person who is king of the mountain for the longest period of time. Everybody has his turn. For you to continue being the go-to person for your patients or the people around a certain area, you have to continue updating yourself and building a team. Because I think regardless of what is said, that a member of team might overshadow you, take work away from you, no. On the long run, it benefits the patient and it benefits you. I have a sports medicine physician working with me closely. I have a sports therapist. We look forward to welcoming any other person who can contribute to this team.
And what do you think, Dr. Polk?
I couldn't agree with him more. I think I agree 100%. I think that it's inevitable that when you get really, really busy in private practice, that you spend less time bettering yourself. I think, reinvesting in yourself with your knowledge. And I think that is something that every practitioner has to bear in mind. I'm currently learning musculoskeletal diagnostic ultrasound. And, I'm not a radiologist at all. But if I can eyeball a joint in my practice using a diagnostic ultrasound and identify whether there's a small or large tear in a tendon, I can get that patient, even faster to the right person, And we talked about patient expectations earlier, and, sportsmen, we're talking about sportsmen, their expectation is they want to be perfect, And that applies to all sportsmen, whether they're, playing, soccer in the garden with a few friends or they're professional athletes, they all want to perform at their best. So I do think it's imperative that practitioners don't make unfair expectations and results to athletes who've injured themselves. There's just no ways that a three-quarter tear of a shoulder tendon is going to heal doing ultrasound or shockwave or cross frictioning. It's got to get to the ortho. He's got to reconstruct it in order for that athlete to get back to where they want to be. There's always an effective sort of window period for that. So ultimately, there's a lot of responsibility to being a sports physician of any type, whether you're a chiropractor, an orthopedic or a sports physio or a sports doctor. And I often warn people, especially chiropractors who are getting interested in sports now, and I say, well, first of all, you need to get certified. And then secondly, you need to realize the responsibility that comes with treating athletes. And about 50% of them will decide that it's not for them. It looks glamorous, but it's tiring when you travel with sports teams overseas. I've done it for many years. And there's a lot of responsibility. And when you're at these events, especially big events, you know, like World Games and World Student Games and Olympics, you're nonstop.
All right. Thank you so much for speaking to me today. I've been chatting with Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon, and Dr. Hayden Pook, a sports chiropractor. This has been our Be Fit Malaysian series, and we've been discussing what's the role of a sports chiropractor in injuries. You've been listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.